Today's scripture will be Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
Just so you guys were surprised, I don't have any tricks. Any tricks, you know? We're going to stick with the gospel this morning. But if you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know you've been blessed, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes, God is good. If you've given thanks for all those blessings, say amen.
Amen.
All right, make sure everybody's giving those blessings. All right. So we've been going through the letter of Ephesians, and we're at the chapter 5 now. And again, we're going along with that practical application that we've talked about, that practical application that he's given to these Gentile converts. These Gentile converts have been going along, growing in the theology of Christ, knowing what they've been saved from, knowing their former state of life, knowing that they were without God in the world, without that hope. And then he comes along and he lets them know, these Gentile converts, and says, listen, Christ is here, he's come, and he's gone, and now it's our time, your time is now, is to walk in faith. You have access to all the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places. You have access to Christ Jesus, to God through Jesus, and he lets them know these things. And also, one of the things that he lets them know is this walk. He says, I want you to walk in Christ. And walking in Christ is so major to our Christianity, just walking in Christ. And if you want to be where we are, so Ephesians chapter 5. And this is what he's led these Gentile converts up to. He's led them to the point of understanding, like, again, this is a practical relationship with God. There are things that we do. There's a way that you conduct yourselves in Christ Jesus so that you can grow with him mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in all these different ways. So he's bringing them to this point. And now he gets to chapter 5, he wants them to be imitators of God. And chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And then he goes on and says, and walk. And he's been threading this word throughout the past, since chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. Again, this is a lifestyle he's talking about. This lifestyle he wants us to walk in. And then in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind being darkened in their understanding. So again, he uses this word walk. He wants us to know that this is a lifestyle that we're to be living. And then he goes in chapter 5, verse 2, he says, and walk. And then drop down to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children. Again, live in this lifestyle of in the Lord. Walk with the Lord. And he says, this is practical. These are things we can do, the way we conduct ourselves in the Lord, by walking with him. So then he also moves on and says in verse 2, he gives a specific way of how we should walk. He says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. He says, walk in love. And I think it's so important that we understand that we are to walk in love. And I know at times that is definitely a struggle, that we walk in this love, because there's so many different circumstances and situations that happen in life that prevent us from walking with the Lord due to our emotions and our stability and different things of that nature. But he wants us to walk in love. And I think Christ, he says, Christ is the prime example of this way to walk in love. He says Christ is the example by, Christ has demonstrated this walk in love, this love. How did he demonstrate this love? Well, look at the end of verse 2. He says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So he gave himself up for us. If you go back to 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said he gave himself up as an offering, a sacrifice, as a fragrant aroma to God. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's so important that we comprehend and understand this. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it reads this. It says, God, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he said, again, Christ is dying as you and me so that we could live as him in righteousness. And I think it's so important because the way he this obedience, this imitating this love and walking in love is definitely synonymous with that love of Christ, sacrificing himself so that we can live in that righteousness, so that we can pretend or attain this eternal life with God himself. And that's, it's so important, this love, this way we walk, and walking with Christ, and walking in love, because Christ is that prime example of that love that he definitely demonstrated by giving himself up to be an offering, a sacrifice, so that we could be with him. And that's the ultimate love and sacrifice. Because without that sacrifice, you and I have no hope, and we are still in the world in our sins. So again, it says, well, walk in love. That's specific. He says, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I think it's a beautiful thing that he shows this relationship that he wants with us. I mean, the reason why he gave himself up is so that he could have this relationship with his creation, with you and I, so that we could be reconciled to him. And that's why he died as us, so that we could live as him in righteousness. And then we get to verse 3. Now, verse 3, when I was going through this lesson, I was going through it, this is the part, everything is great, like Christ died for me, amen, I love it, he's given me so many opportunities. And then I get to verse 3, and it like had me rethinking my whole life. Like, so don't, if it seems negative, don't take it as negative. Just think as this is an opportunity for us to learn and grow so that we can walk better in Christ Jesus, so that we can be with him. So because of all those things, because of that sacrifice that he made, because we are an offer, because he made himself an offering, and we are so that we can live as righteousness, he says, verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper to the saints. So again, I'm reading through this, I'm thinking this immorality, he's talking about the sexual, going outside the marriage bed, he's talking about the sexuality, sensuality, sinful nature, and this impurity and this greed and then not ever getting enough and being satisfied in it. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm not in that kind of sin. You know, I'm good. Good, Jesus, we're still together. And then verse 4 says, and then there must be no filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting. Okay, God. Things are starting to, we're starting to meet the road. And we got to start thinking about some things because we are in this walk with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he doesn't want a mediocre Christian, but he wants us to be excellent. He wants us to be in this relentless pursuit of him so we can glorify him in all the world and be those lights that are set on a hill so that people can come to Christ. And when they come to Christ, they will glorify the Father. Amen? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So he really does want us to rethink our lives and the way we're walking in love. Because it all goes back to the way we're walking. Because the way we walk will communicate the way or how we are imitating walking with the Lord. So if we're imitating the Lord, then we're good. If we're imitating the Lord, we're walking right. If we're walking right, then we're imitating the Lord. But if we're not walking right in love, then we have to go back to the drawing board and figure some things out. And then it goes on, and I want us to really understand these words. So in verse 4, he says, and there must be no filthiness. this word filthiness is anything that does not pertain to life, that has no value to life. No value to life. Silly talk. He says this silly talk, this is a lewd conduct, this lewd, the sexual jokes, then he goes into coarse jesting. This is obscene and indecent. It's rude. It's offensive. And there's times where we are offensive in our speech. There's times where we are rude in our conduct. There are times where we have this And when we speak, we have this character about us that doesn't shine the light of Christ. And the way we speak is going to reveal what's in our hearts. Because what comes out is what's in our minds, and what's in our minds is what's in our hearts. So it's going to be that connection. And he's drawing that, and he says, for even from verse 3, he says, but immorality. So you have this lewd nature of thinking. And then that leads to impurity. And then that leads to greed. And when you're greedy, you will never be satisfied. Then he drops to verse 4. It says again, so that's the physical side of things. Then verse 4, he drops into the application of the way we speak. So verbal and physical, he's making that connection between those two. Verse 4 says, and then there must be no filthiness in your language. Silly talk, no coarse jesting. He says, King James says, that's not convenient, it says. It's not convenient. And so he's breaking that down. It starts with the filthy talk. Then we get to the silly talk when it's just okay. Then we get to that coarse jesting where we don't even think or have the filter or that censor anymore. And then before we know it, we're not even walking with the Lord anymore. It's out of our mind. You know how some people will say, hey, excuse me, Lord, but blah, 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 excuse me, Lord. And they know what they're saying. But he says, there will come a point in time when you don't filter yourself, when you just speak whatever you speak, because you're not walking with the Lord. The things and the way people speak will reveal the way they are walking with the Lord. And I'm not saying judge anyone harshly, but you do have to make decisions in this life of who you're going to be, because your spiritual well-being is at stake here. Because Satan is after you. And that's why he says in the scriptures, guard your heart. I'm not saying we can't have fun and joke with each other. I mean, God understands humor and different things of that nature, but he says we have this filthiness in our speech that definitely makes us like the world. And we are striving in a relentless pursuit to not be like the world. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. So I said, well, I had to rethink my whole life when I was going through this. You know, I love the scriptures, and it's going to definitely encourage us and help us become better individuals for our families, better individuals to those who don't know us, and better individual just overall thinking with yourself. And how do we do this? He says, walk. He says, the way you're living. Well, how are we living? In love. Walk in this love that Christ has prepared and given us to this way to walk in. Verse 4 says, and then there must be no filth in the silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. So again, I go back to the drawing board. Man, God, you're really getting me in this right now. Because it matters the way we speak, the way we live, the way we walk. We have to ask ourselves that question. Are we walking, truly walking in love? He says this covetous man. Has there ever been a time where you want something that someone else has? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about that. Has there ever been a time where you want something that somebody else has? To the point where you start thinking a little bit different. You know, I want his job. I want his way of life. I wish I had what he had. I like his influence. I hope something bad happens to that person. And then I just happen to slide on in and take that position. I mean, we may not want something bad to happen, but we think on and meditate on different things that we want in life. And I think that when we get to that point, we have to really go back to the drawing board and realize who we are and where we are in this walk with Christ in love. Because that's key to everything. And it was really interesting, this idolater. He says this idolater, something of idolatry. And this word idolater or idolatry, it means to worship. And I know we understand that we're here to worship God. But there are times where we don't really view ourselves as worshiping an object. I'm not praying to an object of worship. I'm not doing those things. So we kind of just brush it off on some levels. We kind of, that's just what I love to do. But this word idolatry or idolater is the unknowing. He says, it says, secretly worship, it's either secret worship, conscious or unconsciously worshiping something that you desire. What are you working hard for? What is something that you're going and making sacrificing your time, energy, and what are you in love with? And the things that, you know, those times where you have a job, there's something over here that you just want so bad, I gotta have it, I gotta make time, I'm gonna go out and get another job for it, I love it, this is what I want to attain. And it's like, God's over here, and it's like, God, I don't work half as hard for you as I do this object of what I want, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? How will it make sense? But I think I want us to ask the question is, what is the worst, the most dangerous thing about an idolater is not knowing you're an idolater. Does that make sense? The worst part of sin, the most dangerous aspect of sin, is not knowing that you're even in it. And I think that is dangerous for us, because every one of us in here will say, hey, you know, we're walking in love. We're walking with God. I mean, I'm here at church. I worship the Lord. I sing a few songs. I put some money in the plate. God, I'm good. You know, I'm worshiping the Lord. But where's your mind? Go back to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So again, this is a mental situation. This is mental warfare, right? This is spirituality. This isn't physical. And he goes on and tells us that later on in chapter 6. He says in Ephesians, this isn't about the physical world. If you think it's about the physical world, then let me use scripture. I don't want to offend anybody with my words, but he says here in scripture, he says, any idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Let no one deceive you with the empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So again, that was in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of the things the wrath of God comes upon them for the sons of disobedience. So again, we have to focus. And where is the mind? Where is your mind? Like, we have to go back to the drawing board and figure out where your mind is. Where is your spirituality in Christ Jesus? Where is it? Because if it's anywhere being deceived, then we can't inherit the kingdom of God. That benevolent rule, that benevolent authority of God that he's given, man. God has been good to every one of us. Amen? And I think we do well to take the time and figure out where your mind is. Is it walking in love? Where's your spirit? Is it walking with love? Do we understand that we are spiritual beings? If we've missed that aspect of it, heaven, the kingdom of God isn't yours. But the beauty is, we can know where our mind is, and we can know that we can attain the kingdom of God, and he's given us every way to walk through this. And he says, I want you to be with me. I sacrificed my son so that you could be with me. And all I need you guys to do is imitate God. Walk in love. And then he says, verse 7 of chapter 5, he says, therefore do not be partakers with them. Okay? What else, God? Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but I love the buts of the Bible. But now you are light in the Lord. And he says again, walk as children of the light. Well, how? We don't know how to walk, Lord. How do I walk in the light? How? Let me know. He says, verse 9, for the fruit of the light consisteth in all goodness and righteousness and in truth. Verse 10 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And there's a better version of that. Let's see. King James will say, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Proving what is acceptable. We have got to live a life that is proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Because I don't want us to always say, well, I'm at least trying. No. We need to be in a relentless pursuit of Christ Jesus, because he's done a whole lot for us, and he took the first step without us ever making a move. And I like to look at it as, And then in your first relationship, when you try to, you know, you like that other person and you didn't know how to take the first step, you know, you were playing double dutch. I don't know if she likes me. I don't know if he likes me. And if they would just take the first step, everything would be good. Christ says, you know what? Don't take the first step. I'm going to take the first step. I'm going to sacrifice everything for you. So then you have nothing to lose. What do we have to lose in Christ Jesus? I'll wait. You have everything to gain. Everything to gain. And then he says, all you have to do, he says, just don't part, verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Now we have to understand, this exposing them isn't going around judging people, you're in sin, you're in sin, you're sin. That's not what he's talking about. What he is talking about is living your life in such a way, living in the light where people understand what you're about, who you are, and whose you belong to, and to whom you belong to, belong. So they know who you belong to. And so the way we live, the lifestyle, because we are walking in love and imitating God, people will know what we represent and who we are. So therefore, we will be exposing everything by your lifestyle that you live. Does that make sense? Exposing everything by the lifestyle that you live, not pointing fingers at anybody, because we all have fallen short of the glory of God, amen? Amen. We've all fallen short. I can't point at anybody in this room and say, huh, I made it. And you didn't. No one in here can tell you that. But we can live in a way that will let others know, maybe I need to do some things different. And when we're living in truth, walking in love, it will be apparent. Verse 12 says, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Ugh. How many of us do that? I talk about certain things in secret. I'm like, man, these people, they don't want to act. They don't be, ugh. If they only knew. Well, Quentin, if you only knew and read my word, it says, no, it's disgraceful to even talk about the things that they do in secret. You need to focus on living life for me and being imitators of God and being imitators of Christ in that regard, he says. Then says verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything becomes visible and is light. And then says verse 14. It all leads up to this verse right here, verse 14. It says, for this reason I say, awake, sleeper, wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do we ever get lethargic and lazy in our Christian walk at times? Because I feel like this verse, again, I had to go back and rethink my life. Sometimes we judge ourselves by the mediocrity of others. Sometimes I say, you know, man, I'm doing pretty good. I look over at Mark, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm doing pretty good. But we do that, don't we? We look at other individuals and we look at their lives and I say, I'm not doing that bad. I'm not like him or I'm not like her. I'm doing all right. But God never said to judge your relationship or your walk in love, or he's never said, imitate your walk with me better than so-and-so. We're not judging ourselves by the mediocrity of others. If you're judging yourself by what I'm doing, you're you can do better. But judge yourself by the excellent standard that God has for you. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. God has great things for you. Amazing things for you. And verse 14 says, wake up. Wake up. And follow me. Walk with me. Imitate me. So the question becomes, what do I imitate? Let's go back. What do I imitate? Why do I need to wake up? That's the question. Why do I need to wake up? Go back to chapter 1, verse 3. Put your seatbelts on. Okay, I'm trying to stay calm. Okay. So why? Why do I need to wake up? Why does he say arise from the dead? Because we need to know these things right here. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world so we could be holy and blameless. Verse 5 says, he adopted us as sons so that we, according to his kind intention. Verse 6 says, we can give the praise of his glory. Verse 7 says, we are redeemed. We've been forgiven of all of our trespasses according to the riches. He says, verse 14 says, you are the praise of his glory. Okay, let's keep going. Then it goes on in verse 18. It says, the eyes of your heart have been enlightened. You know the hope of his calling. He says, you have the inheritance in the saints. Verse chapter 5, but he says, wake up. You have all these blessings in Christ Jesus. I've given my son. You have everything in the spiritual realm. You have everything you need so that you can be with me forever in eternity. No question. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you for giving me what I needed that I didn't even know that I needed. Thanks be to him. And he says, you can have all the blessings. You can have me fully for eternity. All you have to do is walk in love. Walk in love. Walking in love. Walk in love. Imitate God. Imitate God. And he says, you'll wake up. And then what does it say in that last verse? And then Christ will shine on you. Whew. So all I got to do is walk in love, and Christ is going to do the rest. I'm walking in love, and Christ is going to shine on me. He's going to shine on me, and that gives me access to the blessings. That gives me the strength to do whatever I need to do to accomplish his will. God has been good to us. If you don't have purpose for your life, he just gave you purpose. And he says, you just walk in love and imitate God. Your heart's going to be right. Your mind's going to be right. Spirit's going to be right. Heaven can be yours in the presence of our God. Ooh, that's good. God has been good. God has been good. If we haven't been walking in love, if we haven't been walking in the way, in a manner worthy of the calling of which we've been called, now is the time to get things right. Love is the walk. Love is the walk. And it's hard to walk in love at times. I will admit that. It's hard to walk in love because there are certain... Satan, the devil, is after your soul. He's after it. Circumstances arise. Families fight. Families war. They don't just fight. Families war. Our hearts change. Our emotions get flustered. We lose sight. We start focusing on our own strength and not that which is of God. And then before you know it, we are distracted. We are distracted. Stay focused on God. If you have a need this morning and you need to get right, we're family, and poor grammar, ain't nobody in here can judge you. Amen. Nobody can judge you harshly. But we will encourage and love. Nobody's going to judge you, is what I'm saying. We're family. That sounds horrible, but you know, we're all here for one another. And if you want to learn more about Christ Jesus, this time is now. So if you have a need or an issue and you want to, and the song of encouragement will be sung right now as we stand and sing.